Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin'. RJ and Channing, I'm your host, Allie Clifton. We should do ASMR.
It's the second time I've heard it.
Dude, low-key, if it's going to get us about 10 extra clicks, for sure, go ahead, Allie. All you.
Tell your throat, Channing. What happened to your throat?
Wait, what'd you say? You know I'm bad hearing.
Tell me about your throat. Richard, ask Channing what happened to his throat. Have him tell you what happened to his throat.
So
the way
over the
just
course of like the last, I don't want to say 10 years, I've been like, man, you know, what is that? And I was like, oh, it's just an Adam's apple. But then I was like, I would go eat steak and stuff like that. And a couple of times I almost choked and I was like, oh, I just didn't cut my steak big enough. So finally Lauren was like, Chenny, you should
Small
get
enough.
That checked out. Yeah. You should get that checked out. And somebody on Twitter literally goes, hey, Channing, you have a cyst on your neck. You should probably get it checked out. And I was like, all right, God, you're talking to me. So I got it checked out. And they're like, yeah, you should probably cut that out. You should probably get rid of it. So this Friday, that. Getting that out. This is my Adam's apple. And it's not that big. It's just...
Does it affect you?
No. It's so cosmetic.
But I'm saying when you started to choke, when you said you choked.
So imagine your throat and imagine the bigger it gets, the less I have to eat food.
So it's not cosmetic. It's if that cyst were to continue to grow, it would close your fucking throat.
I mean, it's not growing that fast. But if I should get it by the time I'm 90. But at that point, Lord, take me. I'll be big-ass Xavier.
He's struggling to swallow right now, Richard.
Yeah, I never said that.
He took too big of a piece of meat down his throat, and he almost choked.
Speaking of that, hey, let's listen to Allie's story about she had to get strep throat tested, and she was very disappointed in herself.
I was very disappointed. When they took that swab down my... I was like, excuse me, I am better than this. Run it back.
I said, boy, listen, that doctor was like, yeah, we're going to need to see you once a week for this. Just me and you, though. And we're going to need to go to dinner beforehand.
Leave it to the two idiots that dressed alike on this podcast to talk about their choking mechanism.
Richard was not ready for our energy. Look at him. Look at old sleepyhead Richard.
Yeah.
This is what happens, Richard, when you come to the podcast and say that you were working. So were we. We were designing the beginning of the podcast.
I'm going to start using this mic and doesn't even just for cosmetic reasons.
Richard, no facial hair repost, you have to say thank you to me for posting that on the text thread that you made it better and applicable to our team.
How funny was that shit?
Please explain.
So it's a common rule that black people, black men especially, should always have some piece of facial hair. Richard,
why?
For the longest time, has had a baby booty face. And we used to call him the Big Perv. That was his nickname, the Big Perv.
He's lying. You're lying. That was never a nickname. You're lying.
Hang on. Why?
People. Why do you guys laugh? Look at how hard he's laughing. He's like, we literally used to call him Big Perv, Smooth Face, Belly Flopper. It's like, what? No, that wasn't a thing.
Why are you guys always supposed to have facial hair?
Again, that's not a thing.
It's a thing. It's not a thing. Think about almost every black man that has facial hair. It is part of our culture. And Richard
Michael Jordan was bald faced for many a years. Then he had the little soul patch.
It didn't feel good. He won the 2-3 beats with the soul patch.
Is that he was bald everything, winning multiple MVPs. Yeah, okay.
That was the early 90s.
Make himself feel better for choking on that big piece of meat.
Yeah.
Anyways.
God.
Homage.com/roadtrippin' to get your swag that Channing and I have rocked on this podcast. Guys, let's dive on in. Can we give our Cavs family some love? 19-4 of the last 23, number 2 team in the East, leading the Central, 6 guys averaging double figures. Are they better than the Bucks as listed right now in your mind? What do they have to do to battle with the Celtics? How are we feeling?
I think that the Cavs are still a matchup-based team. Like, if they get the right matchups, like, I think they would play better this year versus the Knicks. I think that they would still get bullied by Milwaukee. I think they don't have enough firepower for Boston, but I think there is still a path for them to get to the conference finals. I still think that they are one of the top teams, but I think that they're still matchup based. Like last year when they lost to the Knicks, it was a bad matchup for them. That was a bad matchup. And 4-5, people make it seem like 4-5 is that. 4-5 is they were basically similar records. One team just, you know, does a certain thing well. So I think the Cavs are great. I think you see the emergence, you know, Donovan Mitchell, all those Darius Garland, all these dudes. But I just think at the end of the day, like, if they get a good matchup, they can make some noise. If they get a bad matchup, they could be out early.
With this group, I would love for them to have a signature win, right? Like a big win versus a very good team. So meaning like we've seen Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen win big games and go on a run during the regular season. I'd love to see the Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, like that starting five unit have a signature win where we go, oh shit, they might be for real. Like they doing it. But as of right now, I have them again, still in that puncher's chance. Whether they have, you know, Evan Mobley or Darius Garland, or whether it's just Donovan Mitchell, I don't know if it puts them above Philly, Milwaukee, or Boston.
Philly, though, again, I don't trust in the Joel Embiid situation. Not from a standpoint of can he come back, but like, okay, if he comes back, let's say he comes back with 15 games to go. 7 of those games, he's going to be on minute restriction. He's not going to be playing back-to-backs. So it's like, even then, so when will he be at, because understand, they are a contender when Joel Embiid is playing at an MVP level. If he's not playing at an MVP, and the conditioning that it takes, you know, when we, Channing, you know this, when you get into the postseason, there is like, no, everyone's sprinting back on defense. Everyone's like, it is do or die. So Joel Embiid has to be playing at an MVP level by the time the postseason starts for them. Now, again, if they get a good first round matchup and he can kind of build in that first round series, good for him. But ultimately, that's why I'm not like bought in on Philly, because it's not like they just got to get Joel Embiid back. He's not going to show back up and in the first 2 weeks be playing 40 minutes a night and dominating, like, you know, yeah, he's going to be playing 25. Yeah. Then playoff shape.
But, yeah, with that motherfucker out there, listen, I think y'all forgot. When he out there, new team, Nicholas Batum, you have Oubre, you have Tobias, you have Maxi. They're more of a team than they've ever been. Agreed. They're more of a complete team than they've ever been, coaching included. And I like that even they have a signature win, right? Like, I think this Friday, they had a signature win versus a team. You're like, how the F did you win that game? Mm-hmm. You know?
Going back, I was actually just looking at their schedule. Going back to January 17th, they've beat the Bucks twice. They beat the Clippers and the Kings.
So basically you're saying the Channing signature win whole argument is bullshit?
No,
between
I mean.
Between now, these are signature wins now. Okay. If both of your players play after the All-Star break, you're getting ready.
You're getting ready.
Yeah, you're getting ready. That's a signature win. You win in some shit in December. Ain't nobody give a shit about that.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, right now. But
you're not even the same team. You weren't even in shape. You're worried about your candy canes.
Touche. All right. All right. From the East to the West, then the Warriors 10-3 in their last 13. They're above 500 now, currently back in the playoff fold as the 10 seed out West. They do get Chris Paul, back in the lineup this week. He's missed 21 games with a broken hand. Where do you see them now with Clay off the bench, adding Chris Paul back to this, the way they're playing?
Can we also, when we clip this, can we clip when Channing said, hey, maybe we should bring Clay off the bench the first couple months of the season? It would take the pressure off his mind and he would just get to go play basketball.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
I thought you said train Steph Curry.
No. I said, you're not going to go for it, blow it up. And Richard made a good point and said, well, there goes your salaries because these seats are expensive.
Yeah.
Everyone but Steph.
Everyone but
Steph. One-man show.
Yeah. But
I like this version of the Warriors. And here's why. Wiggins has the freedom to be that starter, and there's no pressure on him anymore. If I do well, I get to hoop. If I don't, then hey, here comes Clay. They're starting to roll, and they always have like another level to their play, which I appreciate. And the young guys are finally catching up. And then with Chris Paul, it'll be interesting how that second unit, now with Chris Paul and Clay, does. You know, I think, yes, they're a little older, but, you know, hopefully those young guys can get it done defensively.
If they make it. No, I'm saying right now they would be paired with going against LeBron in a one-game situation.
Ugh.
Right? Like
On both sides.
On both sides. That's what I'm saying, both sides. That's what I'm saying. So if the Lakers were to make it based off of, you know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of the way I look at it is like, if either of those teams make it, but especially them, if they make it, yeah, they can win a first-round series. But I don't think that they're anywhere near good enough, talented enough currently in the way they are playing. Not, you know, I don't want these boys to go on some Western Conference final run like the Lakers did last year. They're capable with Steph Curry. But currently the way they are playing, they don't look like the type of team that can make a conference final run.
No.
Because they would get Denver in the second round. They would get Clippers in the second round. You would get the horses in the second round. The first round, Minnesota, OKC, very vulnerable in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after that, you're talking about the Dallases. You're talking about the
Phoenix, you know, Clippers, Phoenix. Denver, Oklahoma, you're talking about
you're not playing against teams that have zero playoff experience together in Minnesota, zero playoff experience together.
Oklahoma City.
Are Minnesota title contenders?
No.
You saw not what yet. Milwaukee did to them?
Not yet.
Hold on, young fella. There's levels.
Hear me out. Let them beat the Lakers in a first round series like Phoenix did, right? Let them beat the Lakers. Let them go and let's say they go 7 with the Clippers. Right. Or let's say they beat the Clippers, get to the conference finals next season. I would say, yes, they're a championship contender this year. No, you got to go. Think about it. You would have to go Lakers, Clippers, possibly Denver. And then you would have to go the Celtics. Do you think that they have the talent, the fortitude to get through those multiple rounds to be a contender? Those would be the teams that I don't think that they could beat that many teams in a row.
Are you believing in the Lakers?
No.
I'm just not doubting the Lakers. Those are two different things.
My big thing is Rudy Gobert has such a huge impact on their defense, and he's been doing amazing this year. But, like, yeah, I just don't know if you could keep Rudy on the court like that. I'll have to see it.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Sorry, I went off on a little tangent there.
You guys hear the ice cream man?
By the way.
One of the best songs, the ice cream songs. Amazing.
I think it's the most creepiest song.
Oh, I love it.
When I was a kid, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what I now hear. Is that not the most creepiest? It's like one of the songs that you have in a clown movie playing.
Is that because you had to churn your own ice cream and butter to make it? And then when cars came along?
You know what's so funny? My parents had a butter churner in our Florida room.
In your what room?
We call it the Florida room.
The Florida room?
Because it was downstairs and it was all windows and glass and doors. So it was like a sunroom.
So we called it the Florida room. Florida room in Ohio? And
there was a butter churner. Yeah. You guys have lived in Ohio. You know what it's like 9 months out of the year. God love my home state, but it can be a little gray and dark. So anything to cheer things up. Speaking of,
is
Richard.
It that churner? Fuck. You're giving in to the stereotypes here, Allison.
Steph Curry makes you believe you can do anything. And the Curry 11s are specifically designed with ultimate bounce, grip, and stability to allow everyone to do their thing. New generations of ball players are coming up and showing the basketball world that the old rules do not apply. The future is exciting, fast, positive, and hungry. This NBA season, rock with your favorite player and rep his shoes on and off the court. The Curry 11s are perfect for both the committed and casual ballers. The UA Warp Tech makes the shoe feel like it was designed for your feet, locked in no matter what you do on the court. Stop in your tracks with dual density UA flow cushioning and traction. It's an emergency break you don't even notice. Steph's 11th signature shoe steps into the second decade of his sneaker career, pulling colorway inspiration from the wonders of a positive and modernized future on and off the court. Take these kicks with you when you leave the scrimmage and rep Under Armour wherever you go. So do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curry is available now at currybrand.com.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Jeff the Ref, did you see the ending to the Knicks-Pistons game?
Oh.
Why are you laughing? And then you were also on the call on Sunday. Did you guys know, did you hear this stat, Richard, that the Lakers, their loss to the Suns, it's the first time where a LeBron James team didn't shoot a single free throw in the first half since 2015?
Yeah.
They have a plus, going into the second half of the season, they were plus 325 in field goal point differential. Leads the league. Didn't have a single free throw shot.
Were they shooting a lot of jumpers?
In the first half.
Yeah, they shot the ball from three. They shot the ball well from three. They were like 50%, 40-something percent.
Okay, okay. Yeah,
having said that, Richard, you even kind of came on the broadcast and you were talking when Darvin was a bit upset with the officiating and the replays and stuff like that. And you kind of, you were stating, okay, come to Jesus.
What?
Come.
What?
How do you feel about the officiating? What do you guys make of Monty's comments?
Okay. So the Monty's right. He should fight for his team. There's no argument there. I have no problem with a coach fighting for his team, especially a team that's been as beaten down as they have and all the losses in a row. So now all of a sudden they have a chance and he feels like his team put forth an effort to win a game. And he feels like all of a sudden an egregious missed call. And now he should be fired up. I completely get that. I think some of it is for show from a standpoint of when coaches say something needs to be done. Okay, everyone, we have a competition committee. What needs to be done? What can be done? Nothing can be done in those moments. We have challenges. You have multiple challenges. We added another challenge. We have replays. We have all of these things to try and help because we know that being a referee is not 100% correct. It's not 100% correct job. So it's like we add challenges, we add these things, but what needs to be done? So I just think sometimes when they start getting fired up, what he's saying is a message to his team that he's defending them. When we turn this into a talk thing and saying the referees, how many games are there? 1,200 NBA games a year with that pace.
Wow.
Like the amount of calls, how many calls do you think are made? If it's 1,200 games, what are there, you know?
Hold on, let me do the math.
Yeah, that's what do the math. Because I'm curious, because I'm saying though, you think about it, it's like even in football, they have less plays, they have less games, and the conversation about missed calls, missed holds, missed tackles, like all these things, not tackles, but like missed pass interferences. It happens.
When you say 28 calls, 28 fouls a game.
Okay.
No, that wouldn't be right. No. That'll be less than that. It'd probably be like 20.
No, let's just say 20, just for the sake of it. 20 foul calls a game.
24,000 calls.
24,000 calls are done in an NBA regular season.
And like, we complain about six and bad ones.
Think about that. And we're going to really complain about, let's say, 50 calls. That means that most of the calls are judgment calls and this and over the course of the season. So some of it is in defense of the refs, but some of it is also in defense of just kind of the something needs to be done. Well, what's going to be done then? Monty, you've been a part of this league for almost 30 years, player and coach. What needs to be done? How about coming down and getting the best referees get graded and they get moved up, and so they get the bigger games in the postseason. So you have the referees that get the highest percentage calls doing the most important games. That's all that can be done.
That was a bad one, though.
Terrible. But how about this is the other last thing, and I'll say, and I'll shut up about this because I talked about this on NBA Today also. I spoke about it also. Then after that, do you know what his team did? They missed the box out on two free throws. Missed the box out. So he missed the box out. So all of a sudden, they missed another call. They missed another call, I think, on that verticality. That's a judgment call because the referee can say that the player was going forward, not just straight up down on vertical. So whatever. So then they missed the box out. Josh Hart gets the free throw again. He makes the first free throw, misses the second one. The Knicks get the offensive rebound again. Mm-hmm. So it was like, even in that moment, your team shit, like you guys couldn't even secure a rebound on two different free throws. So we can point to that play and say that, how do we do it?
Maybe it's you getting very animated.
But that's what I'm saying. They missed two free throws and the Knicks get both rebounds.
Right.
So it was like that wasn't even the end of the game. It wasn't like the end of the game. You had two more opportunities to secure a ball and to call a timeout and run a play. You missed that opportunity.
Yeah, and here's the deal. Good for you, Monty. Stick up for your team. You want them to get used to trying to win everything. It don't fucking matter. It don't matter. It does, but it doesn't. And at the end of the day, I bet you that ref in his human mind goes, let him fight it out. Let him figure it out. Fuck it. Like in that split second, he goes, hey, they both hustling. Fuck it. There you go.
Put it on a t-shirt. I actually like that.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Speaking of, homage.com/roadtripping. How about the Clippers?
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
Atlanta's not doing anything.
Atlanta's, if they win a game, just know, bet all your checks that they are going to lose the next one. They are 500 for 2,000 straight games.
I was going to say, could you put your glasses on? Because you could have never looked more dad with your glasses on.
What are you doing, bro? What are you doing? This is a visual podcast. People can see
this. Oh, my bad. I thought we were on radio. Fuck y'all. Excuse me, guys.
The Clippers. Let's start with their rebranding first, and then we can dive into their
team. Haven't seen their logo.
Love it.
Love do you?
It. I haven't it's seen it. I heard about
Clipper.
It.
Have a damn boat on your shit.
It's an all-black boat wrapped in a C, and obviously their jerseys are rebranded as well. They get their new arena called the Intuit Dome next season.
Tight.
Love the rebranding, the love timing it. Of all of this.
Oh, I like
crispy,
it.
Clean.
I like it.
And to me, honestly,
it looks like a target. Like you're like targeting. Is that me? Is it just me? Like it's like in a bullseye. Like it's in a bullseye.
Yeah, it's the thing that they steer with, Richard. So you know the horizon of a You know, if you're going through a boat or an airplane.
You were so close to sounding smart. You were so close to sounding smart.
I don't know what that thing is called.
You know, Richard, it's the thing, the nautical miles and,
it is
a couple of clicks, and you're so close. I don't know it. I'm an idiot. But I was just like, oh, Channing knows. I leaned in. I leaned in thinking I was going to get something.
Then shut up.
All right. We like it.
No, I like it.
I like
Can
it.
Can we talk about this?
Yep.
Let's give each team every 10 years a chance to change their team logo or team name so that it reflects the city that they're in. To me, I would like that if they wanted to.
Isn't that what the City Edition jerseys are?
Good job,
Utah Allie. Jazz.
Good job,
Allie. No, we're talking about the name, the actual name. The Utah Jazz, there's nothing jazzy about Utah.
Don't do that. Okay? No, he's off the rails. He's off the rails.
Washington, you know what? Have you seen Wizards? Are we at Hogwarts? There's nothing wizardy about Washington. Hey, we know you don't want to be the Bullets. Let's incorporate something Washington-y. You know? What the fuck is the Nick? What is the Nick?
Only the highest of education will be shown here. What is it? What'd you call it? What was the word?
What?
Wizardy, Washington-y?
Yeah, they know Wizards in Washington. Unless I don't know something, then what's up?
Let's go through the NBA and you give me some new team names that they should think about.
Okay. This is.
I mean, I did.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about that one, but that's a Minneapolis.
Los Angeles Showtime would be cool.
Showtime would be even better.
Los Angeles Showtime would be cool.
It would be sick. And then give the Lakers to Minnesota. I have not seen a Timberwolf in fucking Minnesota, but I've seen a bunch of lakes.
What's wrong?
Cavaliers? What the fuck? Are we in medieval times?
Medieval times is pretty cool, though.
Have you been for real?
No, I've never been.
Oh, my God. We went there for our sixth grade trip in Chicago.
But I love Cable Guy.
Chicago Bulls? I don't know. I don't know any Bulls in Chicago.
You guys need a break, okay? So this is the time. I need you to give me your top players from last week. These are
Jaime Jaquez.
Game changer. Jaime Jaquez. Which players or coaches impressed you the most? Richard?
Jaime Jaquez. One, I think he surprised a lot of people with his bounce in the dunk contest. They didn't know a person of his descent had bounced like that. Shout it out. What? I have not seen. He's Mexican, right? He's Mexican, right? Correct? Before I get this wrong.
Yes.
Before you get this wrong.
Okay. Before I get this wrong. So he is Mexican. I grew up in Arizona. Channing, same. We grew up with all Mexicans, all my best friends. Angelo, Maya, Anthony Hernandez, all these dudes. These are my boys. Eric. None of them had. Eric Larson. They had bounce when they were athletic when we were like 15, but none of them grew to be 6'7". With crazy bounce like him. So shout out him. And then he just dismantled the Kings, was cooking them all last night. So this later in tonight, was cooking the Kings. And you're just like, yo, this rookie is going toe-to-toe and taking these boys down on the road? On the road? Like, come on. And it's like the first couple games after All-Star break. So, you know, sometimes rookie takes them a little bit longer to engage. But shout out Jaime Jaquez.
Channing?
I'm going to go with a guy that's starting to get a little bit more attention, good and bad. I'm going to go with Jason Tatum, right? Mm-hmm. He's the talk of the town. He's obviously exceptionally good. Lord have mercy. Exceptionally good.
How much wine do you have, bro?
Not that much. People are like, is he that good or is this team just ridiculous all the time? But I think he is that good, and you got to give credit. The dude wins every single year. There's a lot of pressure on him this year because his team is stacked. So they got a lot of expectations. So Jason Tatum.
Oh, let me wrap this up first, and then we'll get there. Because that right there was Road Trippin's Game Changers of the Week, sponsored by Under Armour. Do your thing. Change the game. The Curry 11 Future Curries are available now at currybrand.com. Is he not getting enough credit?
It's no. Like saying, no. He's getting the credit he deserves.
Yeah, but it's also like, oh, what? It's always going to be the what if. Would Ginobili have been better if he started on a worse team? Like, or is Jason Tatum, would he, can you just put Jason Tatum on any team and then that team be great? He's always played with legit all-stars. He's always played with legit all-star caliber players. So give credit to the Boston Celtics, to me. But yes, I think he is that good, but he'll always have that what if. It's like, oh, Tim Duncan, what if you didn't have Pop and Tony Parker? We'll never know. What is Steph like without Klay or Draymond? We'll never know. Like, it's one of those things.
And I think he does get, because I think people look at his roster and they think he's a great player. They think he's in the same conversation. First, he's been first team All-NBA. They think he's a Luka. They think he's a LeBron. They think he's one of those guys. But, like, for instance, if you were to take Jason Tatum off that team and add LeBron, where do you think that team would be? Same, about the same spot? Right? If you gave LeBron Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, all of those defenders, where do you think
Drew Holiday?
Drew Holiday, Derek White. Like, my point is this.
Wait
is
a second. That, this version of LeBron?
Even this version of LeBron. Even this
what version. What was your answer, Channing?
Well, they'd be in first place.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying this version of LeBron today that's with the Lakers, if you gave him all of those weapons that they currently have and just took Jason Tatum off, you would feel like, so you're really saying, you're really saying that he's a great player that has a ton of weapons around him. Like, right. LeBron didn't win any MVPs when he was in Cleveland. Right? LeBron, like, were we holding it against him? Or what was this? He didn't win any MVPs. Should he have? Yeah, I think so.
Okay, here's a question. You take KD off of Phoenix and put him on Boston. Are they still number one?
Oh, you mean Jason Tatum?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes, agreed. And I think sometimes the MVP is your team is winning because you have played and ascended to such a level.
Correct. Like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, yeah. Luka, Jokic, Embiid.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Let me ask you guys this. Is, in your mind right now, this is the first question. Are the Thunder a title contender?
No.
If you take Chet off and put Victor on, are they a title contender?
No.
No, but damn, that team going to be nasty.
That team would be a problem.
Ooh.
No.
Nah. For the next 10 years, that team's going to be a problem.
No, but the premise that she is making is that would Chet be making that much of a – or would Victor. Victor.
Defensively, yes, absolutely. Defensively, yes.
What's weird, and I know this might be crazy, I think if Chet was on San Antonio, they would be better. From a standpoint of – like not that Chet is just like this – you play around him hub.
Yeah.
I think that Chet is more familiar with the NBA game, more familiar with the systems, more familiar with how to attack. I think he understands it from just a different perspective. I think Wemby has such a high ceiling for his talent, and he just does things that we've never seen, where sometimes he's still trying to figure out the game. Where I think Chet, to a certain part, kind of knows his game and is just looking to expand it.
So right? You don't think putting Victor in a situation with players around him, like an MVP kind of player, would make a difference?
No, it would make it. I think Chet. That's how good I think. Like Chet is the. They were talking about Wemby was the first one with blocks. Something.
Yeah, the 5-5-5-5-5 game.
Yeah, but no, but there was also like, but then Chet is like the youngest player, like rookie to do, you know, 100 threes, 100 blocks, and. You know, 100 something. Like, so it's like they're both pacing stuff that's never been done by a rookie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're both pacing that stuff that's never been done by a rookie, a combination of things. Like, that's how close they are.
Here's a good example that I've been thinking about here in my very small brain. Chet is Carmelo. Wemby gets an opportunity to be like LeBron. Now, both of them, equally Hall of Famers, equally great. But one ceiling is just when your favorite player oohs and ahs every single day of watching this one player, you got to take notice of that. We've seen almost everything, and every player from, you know, I'm back there in TNT in Atlanta, from Isaiah Thomas, Steve Smith, Shaq, Kenny, Charles, Ernie, myself, Brendan Haywood, Jamal. Every time this kid does something, we're just like, what in the how? You know, mm-hmm. Him jumping with his left. Now, Chet may do that not as often, But I just think Chet has opportunity to be an all-star a lot of years in a row. Wemby has opportunity to be the face of this league as an international superstar from a person that is like just God gifted to basketball for what he does and his size and his disposition and where he's at.
Okay, so Chet, to what I was going to say, Chet Holmgren becomes the first rookie with 100-plus threes and 150-plus blocks in a season. And we still got 30 games to go.
What is Wemby, though? Because you could look him up, and he has the same freaking, like, crazy...
No, he does. He does. He has this... I think he was the first to blocks and something else, but not to threes. Like, that shows you, like, offensively, like, Wemby's ability to knock... Or Chet's ability to knock down threes.
Wemby but still, should be defensive player of the year.
I think that's my
thing.
No,
you can't be
really
defensive
quick.
Player on a team like that just because you...
Yes, you can.
No, you can't, bro.
But I think that's my thing with the whole conversation of if you were to surround Wemby with a different cast, because if you've obviously watched the Spurs, it's just been this whole like figure out process with him as the center, right? And so I just think it would be a different situation.
It would help Wemby a lot. I wasn't making a counterpoint. I was just merely saying that Chet is doing shit that we've never seen rookies do also. Totally. So when we're looking at the combination of Wemby's doing things we've never seen, well, there's also a rookie also doing it on OKC. So it's like swapping those two. You're just swapping two rookies that have done shit that's fucking, that's all. Like, yeah, Wemby has a much higher ceiling, much higher ceiling. There's no doubt about that. But it's like he's doing this. He's the first rookie with 100 threes and 150 blocks, and he's doing this for the number one, number two seed. Mm-hmm. That's fucking pretty... Because you know, you can't make mistakes. You can't, like, they're going to play them, but it's like they're out here battling for the number one seed, and he's putting up fucking all-time historic rookie numbers. Yeah. Like, that's pressure. Like, you got to do that shit every single day.
Yeah.
Like, they're basing their defense around him. They're basing their offense around him and winning games.
All right. Let's dive into the court storming. Hard pivot. Pivot to the left. Richard has given his very animated...
What is it? I'm curious.
I think they should arrest everyone. I think they should arrest everyone and give them a ticket.
He responded to Jay Billis's thought of citations and detainment for all the fans that rush the court, that storm the court.
Yeah, they said they should have security keep them on the court and then give them a souvenir citation on their exit out. No, Channing, that's what he really said.
What? Dude. Can I say this? Can I say this? And then I don't know these kids. Richard, if we look at Caitlin Clark, and I'm going to keep it a buck, and we look at the dude that this happened to the other night, was it me? How I saw it was, you obviously know drunk kids are running on the court, storming the court. Why would you stick out your knee or try to push them out the way? I've been on a court where somebody stormed the court. I put my hands up. They said, hey, good game, Channing. Ah, ha, ha. And I'm like, okay, fuck you. And I just walked. Nobody bothered me. Why is it, if we watch the film, people are trying to bump and push, and then they're getting hit. To me, security is running over to you anyways. If you were to just chill out, the chances of that happening are almost slim to none.
So you don't think they should give citations?
Just say you're all detained.
I've never heard in my life.
You're all detained and give them all citations or arrest them if you want to, and then court storming will stop the next day.
Shit, no, it won't. No, it won't.
I got a couple red tags in Tucson. You know what I did with them red tags? I went just like this. I had it.
Okay. So you don't agree?
No.
Do you believe that court storming should still be?
Yeah. Watch the film. Maybe I'm crazy. I'd love to see the comments. Watch the film of people who complain about court storming and look what their players do versus every other time this has happened in the history of mankind. To me, I'm just like, come on, man. This is not a thing. Stop losing, motherfucker. Stop losing.
Yeah, and typically it's the losing coach that goes up there and says we have something to do something about it. It's typically the losing coach, right? Because the other opposing team is rushing on the floor to celebrate with the players, and somebody gets pushed or hit. I completely get it.
You know who so I would be solution? Worried about?
What?
Sorry, what'd you say?
What's your solutions?
My solution, let them keep doing what they do. I'm saying that, and again, players, you should know. One of the things that comes with going to these high-level universities, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Arizona, UCLA, like if you're a top five team and you go on the road and you lose to an unranked team, especially an unranked team, if Arizona goes to Kansas and they're 10th and we're third, they're not rushing the floor.
No.
Right? Kansas ain't rushing the floor. Right? If we show up there, if you show up to Kansas State and they're unranked and you're third, they're going to rush the floor if they beat you. The whole crowd is going there for the anticipation to cheer their team. And if we win, they're saying, you know this, they start saying, yo, if we win, we're going to rush the field. We're going to rush the court. They start saying that shit middle of the second quarter.
Dude, second That's half. Part half, of
the, half. Yeah, but, or second half, excuse me. Said middle of the second half. So I only say that to say it is that you're not going to eliminate it. You know what environment you're going into. That's why you go to these schools. That's why you go to Duke and North Carolina and Arizona. Like, you know this shit. So my thing is this, like, just be aware. Just be aware of these environments. It is a part of college sports, and it should be. That's part of the reason why, that's part of the tradition of college sports.
If there were certain players in the history of college basketball that I'd be worried about somebody running and just punching them in their face, there's only one name that was universally hated where I'd worry about his safety for a court storming, and that's J.J. Redick. 92% of this country hated his guts.
I think it's more than that.
More than
but really?
Him. Oh. So him, I would be worried about.
That's a high percentage.
Do you know how the whole country has, like, come together to love Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Think about the opposite for J.J. Redick. It was like a united front hatred.
Oh.
And his dude.
Alec, it was
because he was so good.
No, he wasn't that good. He was the beginning of the demise of college sports. You're like, if that guy can average 30 points a game,
oh my God.
He's trash.
He was not trash. I will say he was just everything that everyone thought about Duke, and he embraced it. And he was like, oh, just the arrogance and the cockiness.
He was the dukiest of Dukes.
And then he was good. That was the other problem. And yeah. He was giving you buckets.
I just feel like there are more Duke fans than 8% that you are giving here.
No. It's true. As much
you think
as
you there are only 8% of Duke fans.
Think about how many people hate Duke. Michigan, Arizona, North Carolina, Clemson, North Carolina State, Florida, Miami, Michigan State, LSU, Texas. Everyone hates
There's a certain demographic that really loves Duke. There's an elitism that comes from. To that,
and I went to Stanford,
and my son's favorite basketball team is Duke. Danny knows that as a Brophy kid, he knows.
I didn't
that.
Go to Brophy, you fucker. Went to St. Mary's, so fuck you.
For two people that really take pride in hating on Duke, you guys give them a lot of credit.
No, we're not saying that they're not good.
We just don't like them.
We're just saying they're douchey.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Okay. We're going to respond. We're going to end with this. The LeBron James conversation with Bronny James.
Why are you laugh like that, bro?
Because it's his dad. He's supposed to hype his kid up. And then he goes, well, he's averaging 5. Let's leave him alone a little bit. Like, it just happens to be LeBron. It's like fucking this dude can't do anything.
I fucking love the both of you.
What?
This is why I fucking.
Why are you taking it seriously? If Hendrix is going, and man, what if Hendrix is going to, like, let's say Arizona? I'm like, man, boy, my boy Hendrix is killing these little here. He need to league him. Hashtag league him. And now if he starts playing shitty, I'm gonna be like, yeah, that tendonitis is acting up real quick. Man, who cares? He going to the league eventually. So whether he does it this year, next year, the year after, it don't matter. The fact that we have 30 NBA teams with over 450 NBA players, and this takes up a chunk of every media, is wild to me. But it just shows the impact of, like, LeBron says that the full moon is coming, but it's only a three-quarter moon. Does he really know what the fuck he's talking about? It's like, oh, it's LeBron. He's a human being. Lord have mercy. Yeah. That's my rant.
I think that was well done by Channing. I think that was well done, actually, to tell you the truth.
I just ass up, too. Hey, get his ass. He better than everybody in the league. And then you see him, you're like, ah. Yeah, the shoes wasn't, hey, they the prototypes, come on back. It wasn't right. One more year.
The only thing I'll say in this, and that Channing, you said it best. He's a dad. He should hype his son up. He should, right? As a father, right? I sent you guys videos of Lil Rich playing in Little League. Like Phoenix making catches, I'll send to our group chat. Yes, as a father, you should hype up your kid. Now there's a machine, there is a part of an environment that you're now exposing your kid to the dark side of attention. There's a dark side to that shit that we all aware about. And I think at times when they say about, you're not trying to protect your kid from attention, you want to protect your kid from the dark side that comes with attention. Yeah. And so I think, look, I don't know about the rankings. I don't really give a shit about the rankings. They tell me when I have to work the draft and then I start studying who is potential. But I think he's an NBA player from what I've seen. I think I've seen players with different skill sets that have been drafted. It has been tough. I think people underestimate that summer between that senior year and your freshman year. And Channing, you had a heart condition. Like, that shit takes you a fucking year to get right. It takes you a full year to just feel like yourself. And I don't know about medications, and there's, you know, Hank Gathers didn't want to take his medication because he felt lethargic. And that ultimately is what ended up making him pass. He was, you know, averaging 30 points a game, killing at LMU, had a heart condition, passed out there. You got to take this medication to help with the condition, but he just didn't feel like himself. Then all of a sudden he stopped taking the medication, starts playing again. And then that's how he passes. So there are so many different things that we don't know about medically that, you know, I don't think this is just, does he have the skill set and the talent? The answer is yes, right? The things that the kid can do, you don't just grow on trees. There are very few of us on the planet that can do some of the things, especially at that age. But to over-evaluate him, that's not our job. So I don't do it. That's a scout job. That's a GM job. I just talk about who they say is the potential draftee.
Don't you think this pick, though, the pick for him, is the most valuable, given Bron said that he wants to play with Bronny?
I want $1 billion, motherfucker. So what?
Yeah, he says that. Come on, guys. Look, if it's play with or play against, let me say this. I don't see a scenario in which he goes into the draft and goes undrafted.
Nope.
I don't see a scenario, because you got to, and this is still sports and entertainment. This is still an entertainment, like, very similar to how when Channing was saying, oh, trade Steph. I'm like, bro, he's an economy. You can't just trade an economy. Like, the local businesses. We saw this when LeBron left Cleveland for the first time. The economy took a fucking dip. Did it not? The downtown, the restaurants, the bars, all of the things. What happened. That it took a serious dip in Cleveland. They knew
that. Act like you were there. Act like you've been there.
I had been there, because I played against y'all in the postseason when he was there on the first go around. And then I went there and saw what Cleveland looked like when he was gone. I saw the town was different. So I say all that to say is that he still has enough potential that if you were to draft him late in the second round, I think a team, he would be a two-way player, be a G League guy, go in and out, get reps, get playing time. Look how long it take Kuminga to learn how to play basketball. And this man's the seventh pick in the draft. Mm. Come on. It can take
higher picks that have done worse. So chill out, people.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this came up at All-Star Weekend? Do you think that he's going to Tim Duncan it or do the farewell tour?
What? What? He might get two farewell tours.
Really? I actually don't know why I don't see that.
What?
Because I think the dramatics of like him just mic dropping.
He will ask, no, not mic drop. He will ask for a mic. He will get the mic in like 9 different places. It'll be some. It'll be LeBron James season. No, it'll be. It's like,
so I, much.
Look, we talked. Look, Kobe. Kobe was a Laker. He was revered. But I will say it would be as intense, if not more intense, his retirement tour. I just say that because LeBron played in different places. What Cleveland would do for him, what Miami would do for him, right? Like there would be so many places that I think would just do so many things out of respect for him, including LA, right? Like they gave Kobe love in Philly. They gave Kobe love a lot of different places. Like we played against them. You know, I remember in Cleveland, they gave us all shoes. They gave us all Kobe shoes that we could wear that last game. So it was an event. And then Kobe obviously has the most iconic 60-point walk-off we've ever seen.
And you don't think Crazy Man ain't thinking about that?
No, yeah.
Oh, he's trying to get a 70 ball.
I don't know.
I think he's trying to be different. That's why for some reason I'm...
But he's going to get 70 assists? Man, shoot that thing. It's your last game.
I don't think he's trying to do that. I think if they were to win a championship in one of his latter years, I could see him doing a walk-off there if they were able to, you know. But
yeah,
Tom Brady retired and came back.
Oh, I can see Bron doing it.
I
can see him doing that. Thank y'all. No. Just kidding. I don't want to be on with these kids.
Don't forget, homage.com/roadtrippin' for all your road tripping swag and gear. Wear Richard and Channing across your chest. Feel really special with that.
Right on the chest.
All right. We've talked about a lot. We've covered a lot. Anatomy through basketball, up and down. Here we are. It's another edition of Road Trippin'.
Squeeze, squeeze.